And what a great day. Ushers, go ahead and take the offering this morning. And super glad you're all here. We already said it's a good day, but I don't know if you've noticed, it is a hot day out there. How many are grateful to be in a church that has air conditioning? Okay. Anybody want to confess that that's the reason you came today? No, don't confess that. Okay. It's all good. Well, I'm very thankful for air conditioning. This is the moment when if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you want to open up the Evangel app, and it's you can find it in the App Store under Evangel Montreal. And on there is all of the things that Pastor Tim just told you, and also our notes for what I'm about to say in the next 30 seconds. And you can follow along with there if you want to. And so make sure that you follow along with that if you want to. So we started a new series a couple weeks ago called What If Jesus Was a Quebecer? And if you have not been part of this series so far, you need to go back. I'm just telling you, you need to go back 2 weeks on our website or on the app or get the CD or whatever. You need to listen to what we said the first week. So 2 weeks ago, which introduced the whole series and why we're doing it. Last week was also worth listening to, but the 2 weeks ago is what you need to listen to understand it. Because we said we're doing this series, What If Jesus Was a Quebecer? But the real basis and the foundational statement that goes with it is our purpose is to help people meet Jesus. Okay, say that with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Our purpose is to help people meet Jesus. Okay, turn the person beside you. Now, don't shake your finger because it's rude, but smile at them and say gently, your purpose is to help people meet Jesus. Just go ahead. Okay, our purpose is to help people meet Jesus because our faith is not just a self-involved one. It's not something that we just look after ourselves and it's just me and Jesus and us and Jesus and that's it. And if anybody else wants in, well, it's up to them. We don't do that. Our faith begins with Jesus. It begins with a God who came and who sacrificed himself, who gave himself for us, and then he called his followers to be like him. He called us to follow his example. And he gave us these instructions where he said, you need to go and make other disciples. You need to go and let other people know about Jesus and give them an opportunity to connect with Jesus and to meet with him and become a follower of Jesus. Now, we don't compel people. We don't grab them by the arm and drag them kicking and screaming into this place or be all obnoxious and stuff. We don't do that because everyone has free will. But we invite people to meet Jesus, and we support them to come along with us on a journey of faith because our purpose is to help people meet Jesus. Now, generally, it's hard to connect with people and help them to connect with Jesus if we don't understand where they're coming from, if we don't understand where people are at, and we don't understand their culture, if we don't understand what they honor, and we don't understand what other people value, and we don't understand what offends them or what makes them laugh or what motivates them, then we are going to really struggle to be effective in carrying Jesus to them. We're going to struggle with that. And so we talked about the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church in Corinth. He had this statement, and we've said it for 3 weeks now, and we're going to probably keep saying it through the rest of the series. He said, I try to find what? Common ground with doing everything I can to save some. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. And Paul talked about having to adapt to the culture that he's in, whether he was with Jews or whether he was with non-Jewish people or just whatever culture that he was in. He talked about having to adapt to that and be flexible without compromising his faith. Without compromising the passion and the integrity and what mattered to him about his faith, but still finding a way to be flexible and adaptive with that so that you can connect with any culture. And so we said that actually is not simple. It takes a whole lot of wisdom. It takes a whole lot of maturity. So we're looking at Quebec culture because this is where we are. And if you're visiting today, you're in Quebec today. So for this day as well, you're good to go. And so we're looking at that. And some of you, as we go through this series, you're going to come to me and you're going to go, Patty, I'm starting to realize I don't really interact a lot with Quebec culture because some of the things I'm seeing here, it's not quite resonating. And I'm realizing I interact with a different culture because I work with, this group of people or my family is this kind of people or whatever. And that's fine. That's fine. My purpose is, number one, to get us to understand Quebec culture that we're in. But my purpose, number two, is to help each of us start to figure out who it is we're interacting with, whoever they are. So learn to think and learn to look at the culture of the people we're talking to, because your purpose is to help them meet Jesus. Okay. And so we're using this book called Cracking the Quebec Code, which is not a Christian book, but it talks about the characteristics of Quebecers, and especially Francophone Quebecers. And we've sold out the last 2 weeks at the Resource Zone, so we ordered some more. And last I heard, there's only 4 left today at the Resource Zone. So if you want one, when the message is over, run out and try to get one of the 4 that's left, okay? And we're taking that, and we're combining that with Scripture. And we're looking at characteristics of Quebec, and then saying, how can we take Scripture? How can we take Jesus? Where does that interact? How does it connect? How does that all work? So last week, we looked at key number 1, which was, on the screen, say it with me, joie de vivre. Okay, now you got to say it with some excitement, okay? 1, 2, 3, joie de vivre. And a bunch of you have thanked me for it, saying that, you know, we need to be reminded to actually smile and enjoy life every now and then. But we said that Quebecers, their number one trait, their number one characteristic is this, just living in the moment, this joy of life. And Quebecers love music, and they love laughter, and they love food. And love festivals, and they love the Habs. And they said, we said, Quebecers are the happiest people in Canada. If you ask Canadians who are the happy, Quebecers are the most likely to say, I'm totally happy, okay? And we said Jesus would have found common ground with that, because Jesus, very first miracle that he did when he was here on earth, his first miracle was essentially to make a party better. He turned water into wine. He made the host look good. They were glad he was there at this celebration. And people liked being around Jesus. Sinners liked being around Jesus. He could totally fit in with this joie de vivre characteristic of Quebec. And it's not hard to find common ground there. We talked about this. We said, for us as followers of Jesus, I mean, for goodness sake, we live in Montreal. It's not hard to find common ground there. Just grab somebody and say, hey, why don't you come with me for lunch? Or let's watch a Habs game together. Or let's go to a festival. Or I said, you know, last week you could start a conversation with somebody that says, hey, my pastor says joie de vivre matters and the church should get on board with it. What do you think? And see where that conversation goes. And so different ones of you did different things. And one of you tweeted me afterwards. You actually was in the first service and I got tweeted in the second service. And they sent me a picture of their lunch and said, Patty the Miller, we joie de vivre. And so now it's a verb. And so now with our staff and our leaders this week, we've been having different conversations with people. And every time somebody laughs, we go, say, we're joie de vivre. So we're just destroying the grammar altogether. But we're having a good time. Okay, and actually, somebody else came to me, and a restaurant owner here in Montreal that's a part of our church, and she said, Patty, I just want you to know. She said, there's several locations of our restaurant, and she said, the one that I work at, which is in the predominant base of customers and clients that come, are Quebecers. She goes, they're the best crowd in the world. They're so joyful, and they're so relaxed, and they're so appreciative. We just love them. Everything you said is true. So it's interesting, right? Just hearing back some of this stuff. And so joie de vivre actually becomes the basis for all the other characteristics that we're going to look at. It's kind of the foundation. It's an identity point. It's an anchoring point for Quebecers. And if we don't understand and we don't honor the importance of the joy of life, then we're going to have a hard time connecting with Quebecers and telling them who Jesus is. So that's key number 1. And then joie de vivre is going to lead to today's, which is key number 2, which is easygoing, okay? Now you want to say that with just a relaxed tone of voice, easygoing, like that. Try it, 1, 2, 3, easygoing, okay? Now, you Quebecers, they're just not really interested in having a big fight. They just want to get along with people, okay? Now, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you my own vulnerabilities. I struggled with this one this week as I was trying to work it out, because I, until a couple of years ago, was an Ontarian, not a Quebecer, and I don't know if I count as a Quebecer yet, but anyway, I'm here. And the perception of Canadians outside of Quebec, sometimes easygoing is not the word that would come to mind when they're describing Quebecers. And that is because when Quebec is in the media and the rest of Canada, we see headlines about separatism or language police or whatever, and that doesn't always, and so easygoing is not the word that tends to come through. But how many know that headlines never tell the whole story? right? And so the reality is more than that, so we're going to talk it through. So Quebecers are easygoing, and one piece of this is consensus. It's a really big part of it. The book, Cracking the Quebec Code, says we don't quarrel in public like the French or in private like the English. Quebecers are excessively consensus-focused, okay? Now, here's the fun part. If you have to choose, sometimes when you have to make a decision as a group, you have to choose, do you want the right decision or the best or the smartest decision? Or do you want the decision that everyone agrees with? Sometimes those are two separate things. Quebecers are more likely to choose the thing that everybody agrees with. They will choose that more than they will necessarily choose the right or the best decision. They prefer consensus. They don't want to fight. And so there was this hilarious story in this Cracking the Quebec Code where this marketing group talks about trying to find out what people, how they behave and what they want and that kind of a thing. And they said there's a difference between how people talk and how people act, right? Like all of us say we eat healthy and then we go home and eat chips. So what we say and how we act, there's a difference. And sometimes you got to find, tease out the reality of what's going on. And so one of the ways that this marketing firm teases out that reality is by bringing together discussion groups. And as people discuss and they debate and they hash things out, well, then the truth starts to come up to the surface. And they talked about how these discussion groups tend to get shaped or what they look like in different places. And so they said in France, if you have one of these discussion groups in France and you throw an issue onto the table and say, there, talk it out, then that discussion group is going to take at least 3 hours because they all got something to say and they all got loud pronouncements they need to make and then they'll end up contradicting themselves, but the conversation is just going to go on and on, super passionate, super high energy. Then they said, if we do a similar group like that, a discussion group in Britain, and we throw an issue onto the table and say, there, hash it out, go ahead and talk it, it will be this free-flowing conversation that is always perfectly polite, okay? And then they said, if we do this kind of thing in China, they said, people will do anything to just avoid the controversial or the difficult questions. But in Quebec, this is what happens in Quebec, okay? In Quebec, the challenge for these discussion groups is to get past the consensus that tends to be built all too quickly. Quebecers don't like to quarrel. Within minutes, everyone agrees and the discussion's over. Okay? Easy going. When they're going to make a decision, they want to know what everybody else thinks. 63% of Francophone Quebecers agree with the statement, I place a lot of importance on the opinions of others. 63%. Only 52% of Anglophones from the rest of Canada would agree with that statement. And so there can become this gang effect, and there was this radio slogan that happened in the 70s where it said, everybody's doing it, so just do it, just get on board. And it's kind of this sense of, let's just agree, let's just get along, and then we can all go back to joie de vivre, okay? Because it's a verb now. And so there's that. And then also with this easygoing characteristic is this piece of valuing the group. Quebecers value the group. They value the group as a whole over the individual or over individual rights. The society matters more than just one person within it. And some people would say that might be due to the influence of Indigenous people in the province who highly value the whole and the culture and the society. I just want to give you contrast so that you understand what that looks like. So this then becomes very, very different from, for example, American culture, American liberty and individualism, where the hero is, you know, a lone cowboy who's just standing there, you know, with the guns drawn and pointed and doesn't trust the crowd and doesn't trust the government and he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's just a law unto himself, right? But Canadians in general are not like that. Canadians are all about peace and good government. That's what our value is. And Quebecers even more so. So there's a value of the group. And then Quebecers also value unity. They value speaking together with one voice, and maybe so that they can be heard, because there's been a minority status for so long that they don't want to be divided. They want to make sure that their voice gets heard, and the phrase is often used of stronger together. We're going to get more done if we all speak with one voice. And so, for example, when Quebecers vote, they vote in unity. And so they when they vote, they will just sweep somebody in or sweep somebody out, okay? And they will do that in unity and do that all together. Now, they don't do it consistently. Sometimes they sweep in the liberals, and sometimes they sweep in the bloc, and sometimes they sweep out somebody else. But however Quebec votes, it's going to vote together in unity. And together, and that leads kind of to this idea of it's just common sense. And Quebecers will sometimes, in fact, Gary Connors told me this, who's part of our church and, you know, super smart, and he's here, so I have to say nice things about him. But he told me before I even read this book, he said, Patty, sometimes, he goes, Quebecers are very prudent in how we vote. We have very common sense. So we'll vote one way at the federal level, another way at the provincial level, and it just all balances out. Right? It just all kind of works. And this is what it says. And so Quebecers, here's a quote for you. Quebecers seek consensus. Maybe we could get this on the screen. Quebecers seek consensus, even if it means finding a midway solution, one that half meets the needs of all parties and satisfies no one. They prefer common sense to firm and definitively held opinions. Just let that sink in. Okay? And then you add on to this, this easygoing characteristic, Quebecers don't like quarreling because of this desire to have consensus and to have togetherness and to have unity and let's have the whole group together so we can get back to this joie de vivre thing. Let's do that. And so they're actually, Quebecers tend to be really uncomfortable with debate. They're not comfortable with good, healthy, strong debate. They don't know how to debate. And so often Quebecers, if a debate starts or there's a disagreement, they'll just insult each other. Or lump people into categories. They'd rather do that than just get into a serious conversation or a serious debate about important or different ideas. So now the result of all of this, I'm going to give you two quotes, and I'm going to read them slowly because I want you to absorb them and hear them because they matter, okay? The result of all this is, first, to avoid squabbles and major debates alike, Quebec has become an extremely tolerant, permissive, an accommodating society. Quebecers are very pragmatic, prudent, and realistic, and display a certain simplicity, and have developed shared social rules based on common sense. Just let that settle for a minute, okay? And then that has resulted in Quebecers are more open, tolerant, and permissive than other Canadians. They are more in favor of abortion, more opposed to capital punishment, more likely to live in a common law relationship, more open to gay marriage, and are generally more sexually permissive. Let that sink in. And so the result of this easygoing characteristic is all these other pieces as well, but it's also a society that is extremely tolerant and extremely permissive. Anybody feeling conflicted yet? So the question becomes then, what do we do with all of this? And I just want you to look at the screen for a minute and just look at it and start absorbing it and go, okay, what does that mean? Take a look at all those characteristics and consider, okay, what are the outcomes of that? What does that look like, valuing the group or unity or tolerant and permissive? What does that look like? What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the things that I totally am on board with? What are the things that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with? And then as you're looking at that screen there, kind of consider this. My purpose is to help these people meet Jesus. And then think about Paul's words. I try to find common ground with everyone. So it's doing everything I can to save some. Just let that absorb and kind of work through your heads. What if Jesus was a Quebecer? How does our faith interact with this piece of Quebec culture? Now, let me tell you what I think, and this is someone who's been an Ontarian most of her life, so I'm just trying. I'll tell you what I think. I think Quebecers are not going to be attracted to a church or a faith that is filled with fighting and division. I don't think that's going to attract them. I think that Quebecers are not going to be interested in a person that yells strongly held religious opinions and takes a stand if that person is not listening to anyone else. I think they're not going to be interested. I think Quebecers are going to like a church that values unity. You know, the core value we have of love each other. I think that's attractive to Quebecers. And I think that Quebecers are going to be attracted to a faith that searches for and allows for common ground, trying to find common ground. And I think Quebecers might be more likely to consider connecting with Jesus if the invitation is given as, hey, there's a whole bunch of us that are walking out this faith journey as Christians. Why don't you come along and be part of it? I think if the invitation is phrased that way, rather than, hey, you need to take a stand, step out from the crowd, have some courage, and just step out on your own as a follower of Jesus, I think they're going to be more likely to respond to an invitation that says, why don't you join all of us that are already doing it? Come along and be part of it. That's what I think. And by the way, I just want to throw this out there. It'll matter in a few weeks, but I want you to know that I know that we know that this is happening. Just to complicate matters, this tolerance and openness we're talking about generally does not extend to religion and generally does not extend to multiculturalism. So that makes it more complicated, and it becomes an additional reality, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But the first week when we introduced this series, we showed you this video by Andy Crouch, and we wanted to introduce the series to you. And Andy talked about churches and culture and Christians and culture. And he said, you know, a lot of times we react to culture. We wait for culture to happen, and then we react to it. And we either criticize it by saying everything that's wrong, or we consume it by just becoming the same, and there's no difference at all. And Andy Crouch said, wouldn't it be great if instead of just reacting to culture, we influenced culture? We didn't wait for it to happen, but we stepped in and became, you know, part of it and influenced it. And he said we could do that by either cultivating what is good, so find what is good and maintain what is good and be part of maintaining that well and cultivating it, or creating something, finding a gap in the culture where there's a need and there's a hole, there's a gap to be filled, and is there something we could do to create something to help fill that gap and be known as, hey, those Christians are the ones who something good. And I think we could do that. I think we can influence, and I think we can cultivate, and we can create. So take a look at this easygoing thing, and I dropped a few of them off here. We'll add them on in a minute. But just take a look at the descriptors that are up there: common sense, valuing the group, unity, don't like quarreling, consensus. Does it, when you think about a group that looks like that or supposed to look like that, does it remind you of anything? Anything? I think she means the church. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Maybe the church is supposed to look something. Can I just read you some scriptures of what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to different churches? Here's some descriptions he gave. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. Oh, unity. In the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, valuing the group, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Huh. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, in the same letter, Paul said to the same church, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's more about the group than about individual rights. And then in another letter to another church, Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Do you have any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then, if so, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Well, that sounds like unity and consensus, and we're stronger together. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And then in Philippians 4, same letter, this is rubber hits the road moment, Paul says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Quebecers don't like quarreling. Church isn't supposed to have quarreling in it either. Settle your disagreement. And then Colossians 3, Paul says to another church that he wrote another letter to, he said, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, one group, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and just joie de vivre to God with thankful hearts. Okay? So over and over again, when you're looking at these scriptures, we see that Paul is talking to the church. And he's talking to the followers of Jesus that are part of the church. And over again, he tells them unity matters. He tells them quarreling is not good. He tells them to be kind to each other and to work together. And to do that, he tells them that the group, the whole of the church matters. That our faith is not just about just me and Jesus or me as an individual or each of our individual rights. That's not what it's about. It's about the whole. And he describes the church as this living organism. He uses the word body. It's a body, the body of Christ. But it's also a society. The church is a culture. The church is a family. And it's thoroughly embedded for sure in other cultures, and we interact with the cultures that are around us. But the church is a group that works together in unity and works for the good of the whole and values the opinions of each other. And the church is a group that loves each other. Now, I think, call me crazy, but I think Quebecers could potentially get on board with that. I think that if we cultivate and maintain that part of Quebec culture by even just in how we treat each other and how we behave with each other, and we reflect it in how we do church by honoring each other and coming to consensus and working together and being united and avoiding quarreling, I think it becomes something that's attractive and something welcoming to Quebecers who don't know Jesus yet. I think we can cultivate that. Now, then there's also some difficulty because we add on the rest of it and we say, well, in this easygoing characteristic of Quebec, we also have this piece that says it's extremely tolerant and extremely permissive. And that starts to create some tension for us. That starts to create some difficulty for us. And I think that maybe we start looking for gaps here and going, is there something that we can create to help fill the gap, to help move things forward? Because as followers of Jesus, We can't compromise the integrity of our faith. We can't compromise the passion of our commitment to Jesus. We can't do that with extreme tolerance and extreme permissiveness and just saying that everything goes, whatever you want is just fine. We can't do that without compromising our faith, and we don't want to do that. And so we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have some fairly strong core beliefs. I mean, we might as well just say it out loud. We have some fairly strong beliefs about sexual morality. That matters to us. We believe that sex is a gift, a really good gift that's given by God for marriage between one man and one woman. That's what we believe. And we also hold a really strong, pretty solid belief that values, for example, all human life, including a baby that isn't born yet. And so we don't believe us here that just anything goes and that none of these things matter. We think that some of these things do matter, and we're not just going to let them go. We're not just going to be open and tolerant and go, oh, well, whatever, just to keep the peace. So when we get to those moments, we really need wisdom, and we really need maturity, and we really need God to help us figure out what that looks like. And this is where I think this is where I think we have room to fill in some gaps and to create something and to offer something good to the culture that we're in. Now, let me give you an illustration. This week in our staff meeting on Tuesday morning, we were talking about a thing that we're working on that you haven't heard about yet at Evangel. And it's something that potentially might be called Backstage Pass or something like that. And so now I got y'all excited about it. And we were talking about how do we launch it? What does it look like? What should we do? And so we're all sitting around the table at staff meeting. And it turns out that we had some significantly different opinions of what we should do, how we should launch this thing. And so one of us, Pastor Rob, felt that we should loudly proclaim it and we should tell everyone and make posters and giant announcements and tell everybody everything of what we're doing so that everybody would join in and be a part of it. And one of us, me, felt that actually we should launch it a little quieter and we should make it something that kind of had a feel of, ooh, I didn't know that was happening. And don't you wish you were a part of this? And hey, maybe I can get in on this. Not everybody knows about it, but maybe I can get in on it. Maybe that would create some excitement. And I laughed because he said what he said and I said what I said. And then I thought, huh, I'm talking about this on Sunday. I'm going to use this as an example. And so the two of us, because Quebecers don't like quarreling, right? Which is good. Nobody wants to be in a society that's filled with quarreling. But it also means, according to Cracking the Quebec Code, it means that they actually really struggle to hash out an issue that matters. They struggle to debate. They don't know how to debate well, it said. They end up just calling each other's names or whatever, bashing each other or whatever. Or they just go, well, let's not talk about it too much. Let's just get straight to consensus in just a few moments and the discussion's over. And what we did instead was Pastor Rob and I looked at each other. We kind of laughed. And so here we are in staff meeting. We said, okay, let's hash this out. Let's talk it out. Let's invite the whole staff to help us. You present your side. I'll present mine. And we'll talk back and forth, and we'll invite others to consider, and then let's talk. And we did. And the rest of the staff participated, and we weighed out pros and cons. Well, maybe this would look like that, or that would work this way, and what would work, and what might not. And we ended up coming to a conclusion that we all felt pretty good about. And it incorporated things that we all thought mattered. And it was kind of a third option. It wasn't either Pastor Rob's or my idea, but it was this third option. I'm not going to tell you what it is until it happens, so just relax, okay? But nobody got mad. Nobody started calling each other names, and we had a healthy conversation. It started as a disagreement, and then we talked it out with respect and thoughtfulness until we came to a third option that made sense, and we thought it through. I think... that maybe as Christians, we have something to offer Quebec culture in this area. Maybe. Because we live in a world that is terribly polarized. Everything is extreme all the time. So you're here or you're there. And if you're there, then you hate the ones over here. And if you're here, then you bully and you call names and you slander the ones that are over here. And either people just go in all-out fights all the time or they just withdraw altogether because they don't want to be part of a fight. And I think that followers of Jesus can present a third option. I think that maybe we can model, and with humility and kindness and all of that, I think maybe we can model how we disagree with respect and how to listen to people. I mean, really listen to people who think differently than we do and how to respectfully say, for example, something like, wow, you know, women's health really does matter. And rape is a horrific thing, and pregnancy resulting from rape would be it's just terrible. And nobody wants to be raised. Nobody should be raised as an unwanted child. But you know, somebody would love this baby. And maybe there's a third way, a third option that honors and supports women who are facing a crisis pregnancy. And also honors the life of an unborn baby. What do you think? Maybe we could do something like that. Or maybe we could model how to thoughtfully say in another conversation, you know, can I just tell you from my viewpoint that sex is, it's holistic. It really matters and it's holistic. And it's not just a physical act. is something that impacts body, soul, and spirit in such an intimate way. I mean, I think we can agree that's why sexual abuse and sex trafficking is so, so horrific, because it's more than just a meaningless physical thing. And I think that maybe our society has forgotten that. But that's part of the reason that I believe that sex is something to be treasured and held as precious, and something that is exclusive to a loving, godly, committed, trusting marriage. Now, they might not agree with you, and they might even get really uncomfortable, but you've modeled something different. You've listened to their viewpoint, and you've shared your viewpoint without demanding that they live up to the standards of a God that they don't believe in yet, by the way. And you haven't personally attacked them. You haven't called them any names. And at the same time, you haven't compromised the integrity of your own faith. Difficult?
Yeah.
Scary?
A little bit.
Yeah. But could you imagine if Christians, if followers of Jesus, if the church had a reputation in Quebec culture, was known as, hey, those are the people who don't call us names when we disagree. Those are the people who don't yell at us. Those are the people that we can call them, and they will help us mediate a difficult conversation. I can have a respectful, real conversation hashing out issues with them, because those Christians, they're good at that. Wouldn't that be cool? I think there's room to fill the gap and to create something in Quebec culture there. So here's how we're going to end this morning. We're going to end our service this morning with an act of togetherness. I just thought it would be the best fit for what we're doing today and what we're talking about. And we're gonna end this morning with communion together. And those of you that are serving, you can just move to the stations at this moment. And let me just explain it. The act of communion that we do together, or of the Lord's Supper, it's remembering what brings us together. It's remembering what gives us unity despite all our differences. I mean, we're all so different here. And this is the thing that actually holds us together and keeps us together. It's remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And we call it taking communion, or taking the Lord's Supper. And it's this sacred throwback to the time when Jesus had his last meal with his disciples before he was killed on a cross. And he told them at that meal that the wine that they were drinking was representing his blood that was going to be poured out for them. And he told them that the bread that they were eating was going to represent his body, which was going to be broken for them. And they told them to remember it. And he told them to proclaim it. And he told them to honor his death and resurrection. And so we have over 2,000 years around the world and through the centuries of the church, in whatever form it's in, remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus by taking the Lord's Supper together, by taking communion together. And so this is what we do. We take a bit of juice and we take a bit of bread and we do it together and we remember. So here's how it's going to look here, and I'm just going to ask you all if you would stand at this moment, okay? And let me explain what this will look like, because it might be a little different than what you're used to. And let me just tell you, first of all, if you're a follower of Jesus, doesn't matter if you're part of our church or not. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to participate. We're happy to have you. And what we do is we do it actually in small groups together all the way through the church. Now, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. Nobody's going to compel you. But we would love to have you join a group. And so you're just going to break off into your own little groups of two or three, and some of you will be slightly bigger groups. And you're going to because it's not just an individual thing. It's a together thing. And what you're going to do is, in just a moment, when I release you to do it, you're going to go to the stations, and there's stations across the front here and through the middle and I think at the back and in the balcony and down in the Connect Cafe. And so just find a station that's close to you or has the shortest lineup and get the bread and get the juice and bring it back to wherever your group is. And then when you get together in that group, then somebody can pray, if they're comfortable doing that. Just pray, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your death and your resurrection. Thank you for salvation. You could all together say, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. You could pray for each other if you're comfortable doing that. If you need help, just wave over a leader and we'll send somebody over to help you. And then you just take the bread and you take the juice, and then we're all going to come back together just for one final prayer before we dismiss the service. So let me just read the scripture for you, and then I'm going to release you to go and do that. This is Paul talking again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Jesus, at this moment, we pause. We say thank you for what you did for us. It's everything. It means everything. And God, at this moment, you know, we're coming here from all different backgrounds and all different days and weeks. Would you wash us clean? Wash away anything that's just wrong, that's displeasing to you. Make us clean again. Make us holy again. Thank you that you do that. Make us new again. God, would you come and be present in each of the small groups as we together just take just a couple of minutes to remember you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you just move out then? Move to the station that's closest to you. Figure out the group that you're going to be with. Just take the bread and the juice. Take it back to your group. There'll be some slides on the screen that help you know what to do if you don't know what to do. We're just going to take like 5 minutes together in small groups, and then we'll come back together and pray, but to dismiss the service. Take a look around, see if there's anyone left out that maybe you want to invite to be part of your group. If you're on your own and nobody has noticed, just walk up to one of the groups. We're super friendly here. You can join in. Maybe one person in the group can lead in prayer. Take a moment and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. You can pray for each other if you want to. Take one more minute. We remember you, oh God. Just as you finish praying together and taking communion in your small groups, just we are going to come back together. So just take a moment and verbalize your thanks to God. We worship you, Lord. You are awesome, God. Grateful for you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. And maybe you would just join me in a song of worship. Oh, come, let us adore him. God, this is the thing that unites us. This is the thing that holds us together, that together, from all our different backgrounds and with all of our differences, we proclaim Christ as Lord. And we adore you and we worship you, God. And Jesus, we say thank you that you've invited us to be part of your family, connected with you. And then you've invited us to be your ambassadors, carrying you to the rest of the world. And so, Jesus, we're going to walk out of here today. We've worshiped together. We've connected with each other. We've learned. We've prayed. And we're going to walk out of here deployed as people that are commissioned to carry Jesus. And so we ask you to help us to carry Jesus well into our world, into Quebec, into Montreal. Would you help us to do good? Would you help us to love each other? Would you help us to reveal Jesus to a world that desperately needs him? God, I pray that you would help us to do that well and with joy and with confidence in who you are. And I pray that you would bless each person as they go and you would keep each one safe and well this week and bring us back safely next Sunday. We ask all of this and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget our annual members meeting is this afternoon at the Lighthouse at 2 p.m. Doors are going to open at 1 or shortly after. Come early so you can get registered. And God bless you. Have a great week and we'll see you next Sunday.